promise that there will always be a place for children here. We will ask for God's blessing and protection on Emily and Emma, and we will pray for them. Jesus was presented by his parents in the temple, and in turn he took young children in his arms and blessed them, celebrating the gift of life and the faithfulness of God. We covenant together as parents and as a church, making promises before God for the sake of these children. We celebrate family life together.
People were bringing little children to him, that's Jesus, in order that he might touch them. And the disciples spoke sternly to them. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the little children come to me. Don't stop them, for it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs. Truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it." And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them.
Now I'm going to say a prayer of thanksgiving. Let's pray. Lord God, creator of all things, giver of life, we praise you. You are the loving parent of each person, and joyfully we thank you now for the gift of new life in the birth of these children. For all that you have given and will give to us through them, and for the possibilities of their new lives, we thank you. For the love which has brought them into existence, for the love and hope they have awakened, and for the care which surrounds them, we give you our thanks and praise in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Firstly, I'm going to ask Mindis and Katrina to make their promises. They have two. Mindis and Katrina, do you thank God for the gift of your daughters, and do you accept the joys and duties of parenthood?
Gladly we do.
That's brilliant. If you'd said no, we'd have lots of volunteers to stand in, I guarantee it. Do you promise to bring your daughters up within the Christian community, and by God's grace so to live, so that they will be nurtured by Christian love and surrounded by the life of Jesus? Daniel, this is the big part. Have you remembered all your words? Excellent. Right. Here we go then, Daniel. Daniel, will you promise to love and help care for Emily and Emma?
Yeah. Hey.
And for the four godparents, you will say "we will" after I've asked you the question. Godparents, will you love and pray for Emma and Emily, and will you support and encourage them and the family?
We will.
Brilliant. Gathered here as members of this congregation and as representatives of the wider Church of God, do you promise to offer Emma and Emily and their family your love and support? And being faithful in prayer, will you share your faith with them by word and example? If you promise this, and if you're able, would you like to stand, please? Right, we're going for... This one first. Hang on for a minute. You're right. I won't drop her. I'll drop her later. Gathered here as members of this congregation. Sorry. What name have you given to your daughter?
Emily Grace Simonavicius.
Emily Grace Simonavicius. We greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus and welcome you into the community of God's people. Emily, we rejoice, for you are God's gift to us. Grow strong in the knowledge and love of God. We pray that one day you will be a disciple of Jesus Christ, following him through the waters of baptism and in a life of faithful witness. Bear the fruit of his Spirit. Live in his great gift of love. Okay, Mindy, come forward. And what name have you given to your daughter?
Emma Grace Simonavicius.
Emma Grace Simonavicius. We greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus and welcome you into the community of God's people. Emma, we rejoice, for you are God's gift to us. Grow strong in the knowledge and love of God. We pray that one day you will be a disciple of Jesus Christ, following him through the waters of baptism and in a life of faithful witness. Bear the fruit of his Spirit. Live his great gift of love. The Lord bless you, Emma and Emily, and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace this day and always. This is the good bit. Double trouble.
He's used to it, don't
worry. Okay, okay. Let's have the other foot. No, we're okay. We're safe. I'm experienced. Emma and Emily, these are your family and friends. You are gifts to them and a sign from God that we must all come as little children, with empty hands and open hearts. Come and meet them, that they may thank God for you. Okay, this is all we've got. I'm sorry. Well, Emma's a bit more interested in you than Emily. You're welcome. I'm in pink, aren't I? She had a heavy night.
Now he's even posing.
Yeah. You know I've always been a poser. Some more here. You'll have to remember to tell Emily what it was like. She slept through it all, bless her. Yeah, I know you would. Yeah, we're all in the pink.
Yes.
Aren't they gorgeous?
That is more luck and judgment.
Yeah. I'm not going to rush this because they're enjoying it too much.
And then we tell people that they're not settled, they fly.
We've waited a long time for this, haven't we? We committed Martinez to God and we just waited for the time when Mindis and Katrina would have another baby. What we didn't know, it was going to be double trouble. But we still give thanks to God for that tiny, tiny life of Martinez. But we bring these, and God loves you. And God loves these, your family as well, and they're going to love you as well. They're going to spoil you.
And the colour-coordinated shirt, yes, does the job.
Do you remember when you were this small? She does. Oh, okay. Okay. Are you happy with them, people? Love them to bits already. Wow. Can't get enough of this. Okay. I've enjoyed it. Okay. You're going to take Emma. Righty. Bless her. Okay, let's look. No? Right, I suggest parents take these. Okay. Sorry, we're going to do it separately, aren't we? Yeah. Emma, I give you this candle to remind you that Jesus is the light of the world. May you grow in his light and one day shine for him. Daniel, will you take that for Emma? Thank you very much. I give you this book of Bible stories that you might learn more about the truth of God. And these certificates will also remind you of this day. Emily, I give you this candle to remind you that Jesus is the light of the world. May you grow in his light and one day shine for him. Can you carry another one? What do you think? Yeah. Okay, there we go. And I give you this book. Well, I've given it to Daniel for the minute. This book of Bible stories that you might learn more about the truth of God. And this certificate will remind you one day. Let's pray. Loving God, we thank you for the gift of these children and now pray for their protection and flourishing. We live in a difficult and dangerous world and we ask that you will keep them safe from harm. We pray for Mindis and Katrina and ask for your help in the care and nurture of Emily and Emma. We pray they might know your love through parental love, discover your guidance through their guidance, and come to trust in you and become disciples of Jesus. This we ask in the name of our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Emma and Emily, you are both God's gift, and your name is written in the palm of his hand. The blessing of God, which is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with you today and always. And the people said, Amen. Amen. Bless you. If you'd like to take your seats, blow the candles.
Just we're reading from God's Word, and it's the book of John. And if you pick up the Bible that's in the back of the chairs, then you'll find it'll be on page 1073. So 1073, and it's John 8, and we're going to start from verse 12 down to verse 20. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. The Pharisees challenged him. Here you are, appearing as your own witness. Your testimony is not valid. Jesus answered, Even if I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is valid, for I know where I come from and where I am going. But you have no idea where I come from or where I am going. You judge by human standards. I pass judgment on no one. But if I do judge, my decisions are right, because I am not alone. I stand with the Father who sent me. In your own law, it is written that the testimony of two men is valid. I am the one who testifies for myself. My other witness is the Father who sent me. Then they asked him, Where is your Father? You do not know me or my Father, Jesus replied. If you knew me, you would know my Father also. He spoke these words while teaching in the temple area, near the place where the offerings were put. Yet no one seized him, because his time had not yet come. May God bless that reading to us.
because of the dedication, I chose not to read the traditional Pentecost reading this morning, but I just felt that it would be good to focus as we lit those candles for Emma and Emily, so that we would focus on Jesus, who is the light of the world. I bought a present for a friend recently. He was the kind of person that who has everything. So I wondered what to buy him, so I bought him a candle extinguisher, and he was delighted. This is not a day to think in terms of lights being extinguished. Now, we did give Emma and Emily a lighted candle, and I hope whatever mechanism they use, that Mindis and Katrina will light those candles from time to time, maybe even on the anniversary of their dedication, just to remember that God loves them, and that was the first time they were formally brought into church, although we've obviously seen them before. And as we gave that lighted candle to the girls, we prayed that they would know that Jesus is the light of the world. And we also prayed that the girls would grow in his light and one day would shine for him. And of course, that alludes to the verse that Diane's just read for us, verse 12 of John 8. Again, Jesus spoke to them, them being the Pharisees. Jesus spoke to them saying, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Light and not darkness. Light and life. Light and purpose. Light and destiny. The visual aid that Jesus had when he was sharing these words was not some kind of powerful lighting, but it would have been a row of candles. Jesus was in the court of the treasury, I think it is actually set, but it was a place where the Feast of the Tabernacles was being celebrated, or the Feast of Booths. It was one of the three Jewish harvest festivals that Jesus was attending, and in front of him would have been rows of candles. Over the years, candles have been so significant in worship, but they're also amazing things because of the property of a candle. Because Uganda sits on the equator, it means that it gets dark between something like 6 or 7 o'clock every evening. Given that they have so many power cuts and so much power sharing, and I'm sure Derek, during his time there, that's probably why he's got less hair than he has now. Oh, right, of course, yeah, indeed, yeah. And yet, the small, vulnerable candle has such a power exuding from it. If you, Kampala is set on seven hills, and where we were staying, where Derek stayed in the Mame Center, you could overlook some of the hillsides. And I remember looking out and seeing candles in the homes or fires lit from a fair distance away. And scientists will tell us that if all the situations are right and it's a clear night, you can actually see a candle for something like 10 miles with a naked eye. The light of Jesus that he spoke of was not the incandescent wow light that was experienced when Jesus was transfigured. Jesus was looking at a more modest light. He was looking at these candles. The candle has so much more power than is obvious by its physical shape and by its properties. Knowing his audience, Jesus focuses on light because, well, it means something to everyone, but particularly in the Jewish context, light meant something very, very significant because the first created thing in the book of Genesis, and we read, is light. Hanukkah, which is still celebrated today, or the Feast of Lights, was very much out of the Jewish tradition, celebrating the rededication of the temple. The psalmist would speak of light. Psalm 27, which some of us will know well, talks about the Lord is my light and my salvation. And the sacred law, the Torah, was described as the lamp of God in Proverbs. And so it's a graphic picture for those who were around Jesus. And so he says, I am the light of the world. Three brief thoughts about the light of the world. And firstly, and this is the important link with Pentecost today. Jesus is the light that energizes. As fossil fuels diminish, we look over some of our own rooftops and we see more solar panels than tiles. And it's a reminder of just how powerful light is. Those of you who can remember your science lessons of photosynthesis and all that know just how important light is in terms of feeding and being a power source so that things grow. There are a whole range of factors that give humans energy and respond to their complex needs. But one of the greatest needs that we have is to receive the divine energy of God. Only then, I believe, will we achieve our full potential. So Jesus, who was integral to the creation of the world, described himself as that essential light-giving agency. At the Feast of Tabernacles, his presence and energy inspired his hearers. But we look backwards. We have the benefit of hindsight. We look back. And we see not just an inspiring presence of Jesus at the Feast of Tabernacles, but we see the light of the world that became manifest in a very different way at Pentecost. How the Holy Spirit came down. And more graphically and more helpfully, the energy of Pentecost superseded even the immediate presence of Jesus. Because for those at Pentecost, Jesus clearly had ascended back to the Father. But he blessed the church. The church was born because of the power of the Holy Spirit, because of the whole energy of God. People were transformed. There were, about 120 believers before Pentecost. And then suddenly, on the day of Pentecost, a further 3,000 people were added to the numbers. The energy of God was building up on earth. And so the Holy Spirit now becomes that continuing divine energy, the light of the world we now see through the power of the Holy Spirit, as he blesses the church, as he gifts the church, and as the Spirit calls forth and promises certain fruits of the Spirit, that we will be better people, that we will be driven more by heaven's agenda than that of earth. Jesus, the light of the world, the light that energizes. Then secondly, we see that the light also brings judgment. Earlier, John records from chapter 3, and this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and man loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. But he who does what is true comes into the light. Darkness brings with it mystery and suspicion. Those who hide in dark places hate the light. But because the light is challenging and the light is revealing. I read crime novels for fun. And I can advise you that if you tend to stab somebody, then the blood will be found. The reason is, of course, because with forensic science, they have these wonderful little light machines that can pick up even the tiniest speckle of blood. If that is true of a tiny little light, imagine how it is with the light of the world. In some ways, it's like Jesus examining our spiritual x-rays. That's a scary thought. All the dark recesses of our personality, our nature, our actions are held up to scrutiny. Such is the light of the world that cannot stand darkness and wants to lead people out of darkness into light. And this is not something that we worry about later on. This is not something that occurs when we die and judgment then will take place. Because Jesus said, this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world. Has come. Is the judgment. Innocent of Alaska, who you may well never have heard of, was a 19th century Orthodox teacher. He was once asked, if God was so merciful, how could he deprive the kingdom? How could he deprive people of the kingdom of God? And as they were talking about this, Innocent and spotted that the person he was talking to was kind of moving his head. And so Innocent asked him, what's wrong? And the guy he was talking to said, I've got the sun in my eyes. And Innocent said to him, yes, that's exactly the way it is with God. God doesn't keep people out of the kingdom of God, but people keep themselves out because they can't bear the light of God. Where there is misuse, where there is abuse, where there is prejudice, the brightness of the light will be uncomfortable. Jesus, the light that energizes, Jesus, the light that judges, and lastly, Jesus is the light that obliterates darkness. Jesus is the light that shines in a dark world, and Hannah shared a little bit of a dark place that's in Calais. He brings the light that convicts of the things that are not right, of self-pity, of addiction, materialism, greed, envy, egocentricity. I guess some of you have had that picture in your mind, those who know Holman Hunt's picture entitled The Light of the World. To my view, if Jesus is the light of the world, then that picture is pretty much understating it. And yet it is so typical of the mystery and humility of Jesus. A friend of Holman Hunt paid tribute to the painting and asked, why was there no handle on the door? And it's not, probably you can't see too well on that picture, but Jesus is knocking, but in fact there is no handle on the door. And Hunt replied to his friend, the handle is on the inside. To receive the light, to live in the light, to be healed or changed by the light, we need to open the door from the inside. Then we will not be people of darkness, people living in shadows, but radiant with the light of Christ. And the one big question that I have this morning is, have you opened the door? Have you opened the door of light, of purpose, of destiny, of eternity? Have you opened that door to the living Christ, made known to us now through his Holy Spirit? John 12:35 says, walk while you have the light. Walk to the light. Walk in the light. Don't stand still or walk away. And if some of you are thinking I'm talking Chinese and you don't really know what it's all about, then there are people here. Please come and talk to me. At the end of the service, there'll be some people there who'd be happy to pray with you. But maybe this morning, if you're new to church, maybe the light of Jesus is something that you might want to ponder a little further. But one thing is sure, the Lord is gracious and merciful, and he wants the very best for his children. The best is the energy-giving, searching, healing light of Jesus. Don't walk away and hide in the shadows when the light of the world that brought Emma and Emily into the world is the same light of the world wants you to shine with him through to eternity. Let's pray. Lord, we want light in our lives and not darkness. We want light to shine so that young children like Emma and Emily may know light and not darkness. We pray against darkness. We pray against the activity of Satan. We know that in this world there is evil. And in the name of Jesus, we call down for light. We call down for protection, not just for Emma and Emily, but for ourselves. And Lord, if there is a sense that you've been speaking to us this morning about having a different walk, opening up to all that Jesus might be, of reconsidering whether our lives are in light or in the shade, would you please come by your Spirit and help us? Put around us people who we will be able to share with, that we too, in whatever way, might be people of the light. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.